Welcome to Get Sleepy, the podcast where we listen, we relax, and we get sleepy. I'm your host, Thomas. Thanks for tuning in tonight. The way this podcast works is very simple. Just pick an episode, press play, and get comfortable in bed. I'll talk you through a short relaxation exercise, and then I or one of my friends will read you a bedtime story designed to gently grasp your attention and guide you to sleep. The more you tune in, the more effective the podcast will be at putting you to sleep. So make sure you subscribe or follow wherever you get your podcasts. In tonight's story, we go on a dreamy adventure to a place of great tranquility, sprinkled with aspects of Greek mythology. We'll even hear a bedtime story from the Greek god of sleep himself. But first, we'd like to send a big thanks to Helix Sleep for supporting this podcast. These guys make amazing, ultra-comfy mattresses. And of course, sleeping on something comfortable is just as important as everything else you do to aid a good night's rest. Knowing which type of mattress is the best for you is made simple by Helix Sleep's online quiz. It takes just a couple of minutes to complete and matches your body type and sleep preferences to the perfect mattress for you. By answering some simple questions, like your preferred sleeping position and temperature, Helix will match you to one of their amazing, best-selling mattresses. For me, that turned out to be their Midnight mattress. Helix was awarded the number one best overall mattress pick of 2019 and 2020 by GQ and Wired magazine. Helix has a 10-year warranty, and you get to try it out for 100 nights, risk-free. They'll even pick it up for you in the highly unlikely scenario that you don't love it. Right now, Helix is offering up to $200 off of all mattress orders and two free pillows for our Get Sleepy listeners. Just go to helixsleep.com/getsleepy. That's Helix, H-E-L-I-X, sleep.com/getsleepy. For up to $200 off. It's as easy as that. Now I hope everyone is doing well, and if you're staying indoors like most of us are, then I hope you're finding it to be a restorative time. There's lots of stuff we can all spend a little more time focusing on. Opportunities to learn new skills, or listen to music or podcasts, of course, catch up on loads of great film and TV, cook some new recipes, and something I've particularly been enjoying is thinking up different ways to exercise at home. It's been an eye-opener in terms of how we can use everyday objects around the house to keep our bodies fit and healthy. And quite honestly, I'm not walking so much. I think I'm doing more exercise overall now than before when we were free to go out to gyms and classes. And I'm sure everyone's found some inventive new things to keep busy with at home. And if you've just recently found Get Sleepy, then thank you for being here, and you're very welcome. Feel free to reach out to me and the team anytime. Let us know your thoughts on the podcast and anything else you'd like to tell us about. You can find us on social media, the links are in the show notes, or write to us directly via our website, getsleepy.com. So now, let's get ourselves prepared to settle in and hear tonight's soothing story. Let your head rest on your pillow, easing any strain or tension on your neck that supported it all day long. Your mind may still be feeling busy or anxious. Unfortunately, our brains seem to have a tendency of doing a lot of serious thinking once we're laying in bed. I know this myself and often battle with that problem. But if you do find yourself overthinking, then rather than trying to push it away, Instead, just shift your attention and focus to my voice. Take some deep breaths, and as I'm speaking, you may drift in and out of awareness, which is absolutely fine. Some parts of the story you may hear, and you can let it play out in your imagination. Visualize the characters, the sights, and the sounds. And when you're ready, sleep will naturally come to you. And if you wake up again through the night, you can reimagine the story in your mind and drift happily back off to sleep again. So now, let's turn to tonight's story. It's called The Cave of Sleep. We begin at one of history's greatest storytelling platforms, the Theatre of Dionysus, in the Greek capital, Athens. Here, the warm afternoon air carries the sweet scent of local Mediterranean plants. Iris admired the ruins of the ancient stage. The narrow surface was raised on massive stone blocks, beautifully decorated with creamy white sculptures. Not surprisingly, most sculptures represented Dionysus, the Greek god of wine and theatre. The theatre was named in his honour, after all. Iris smiled. She loved mythology, and, for a few moments, she pictured a time when plays honoured the entertainment-loving god. She imagined warm summer nights when people attended the first performances, the lively acts that unfolded on this very stage, and the loud applause from an appreciative audience. Thousands of years later, the world's first theatre was quiet. Now, Iris was its only guest. She planned to wander through the stage and seating areas to see what stories the old ruins may tell. The space between the stage and the seats was circular and had been paved with marble. Some of the tiles were cracked and some were missing, and some had a few fresh blades of grass growing along their edges. In ancient times, this space belonged to the chorus, a group of people who helped the audience follow the performance. Sometimes they commented on the play, while other times they sang and danced. The rows closest to the stage also caught her attention. These were seats of privilege, reserved for priests and other guests of honour. Made of white marble, the massive thrones reminded Iris of giant chess pieces. Some seats were broken, while others managed to pass the test of time. Iris picked a seat from the empty row and watched the empty stage in silence. The marble throne wasn't particularly comfortable, but the rock felt cool, which was a nice contrast to the warm air. From the seats of privilege, Iris headed to the theatre's tiered seating. A flight of stairs, old like time itself, took Iris to the upper rows. With every step she took, she pictured people of Athens attending the plays. She saw how the theater had changed over time. At first, the audience sat on the grass. Perhaps later, they used wooden benches. Finally, they cut permanent seats from rock in the hillside with perfect symmetry. Whenever she stopped to look back at the stage, it looked smaller and farther. The view from the upper seats was not ideal. Still, performances would have been amazing, thanks to the theatre's superior acoustics at the time. From the last row of the amphitheatre, the performance area looked like a monochrome mosaic. Behind the tiny stage, Iris could see the Greek capital city with its white, picturesque buildings. Above it, the sky was filled with rich, fiery hues. Sitting here, Iris imagined the sunset over Athens. It must be dramatic, like the end of a classical play, she thought. Having enjoyed her visit, Iris left the ancient theater. She walked toward the city center, thinking about the ruins and enjoying the lull of the early evening. Traffic was slow, and yellow lights started to flicker along the streets. The Athenians spent time outside, enjoying the fresh evening air. Seeing the locals' happy faces, Iris remembered an old myth. The most prosperous city in ancient Greece was named after the goddess of wisdom, Athena. She beat out a rival god who also wanted to be the city's patron deity by giving the Athenians a valuable gift, an olive tree. It provided food, wood, and oil, which would make the city rich. Blooming olive trees still grace the streets of Athens. The precious oil and fruits were served with every meal. Iris passed olive trees on her walk home. The streets were empty, and the Athenians switched off their lights one by one. From the large window in her room, Iris took a moment to glance at the moon. It was thin, glowing white, and shaped like a sickle. When a yawn arrived, she decided it was time to change into her pajamas and settle into bed. Everything around was silent. Her body felt heavy after a long day. Breathing deeply, Iris closed her eyes and was overcome with a sense of contentment. Ever since she was a little girl, she wanted to learn more about the ancient gods. In Athens, she could feel their presence. Enjoying the peaceful night, her breath softened. Her thoughts became quieter. The tick of the clock soon went unnoticed, and before long, she drifted off to sleep. Deep in her slumber, Iris found herself standing at the entrance of a mysterious cave. Past the entrance, there was only darkness. In the background, however, she heard the crystal blue waves of the Mediterranean lapping a rocky edge and shorebirds calling to one another. Though the water's edge was her favorite place to be, she couldn't switch off her natural curiosity. She walked inside the cave, touching its cold, damp walls. The wind followed suit. It hummed sweet and low, just like a lullaby. After a few careful steps, in the fading light, Iris thought she had stepped under the night sky. A dim light illuminated the inside of the cave. It seemed like this cave was filled with millions of stars. But as she looked closer, the stars were moving. Then, one of the lights danced around her, landing on her shoulder. A firefly. The cave was unlike anything she'd ever seen. Dreams hung from the ceilings like icicles. From a distance, they looked like little clouds of magic. But as Iris moved closer, the dreams revealed themselves in bright detail. Some lit up with bright colours, while others had a deep, calming shade. There were long dreams, daydreams, and forgotten dreams. Instead of rock formations on the ground, a field of blooming poppies covered the cave's floor. Iris looked around in disbelief. After a few moments of awe, she approached towards the nearest dream. Up close, the dream was even more beautiful. It glistened like an Arctic landscape and reflected her curious eyes. Hesitant at first, Iris held her breath as she shyly touched the dream with her finger. Inside its shell, the dream was warm and soft. It didn't feel familiar, like it was her own. As soon as she touched it, Iris saw vibrant images of happy people. She smelled freshly mowed grass and felt the taste of cherries in her mouth. This was a vivid dream with delightful sensations. Iris felt grateful to experience something so personal. But before she could touch another dream, she heard a calm and gentle voice echo from the depths of the cave. "I've been expecting you," it whispered. She couldn't see where the voice came from, but she followed the voice's echo through the cave's labyrinth of corridors. She brushed the fireflies aside and maneuvered around dangling dreams until she noticed a fuzzy light coming from behind a corner. Iris turned the corner to find a chamber lit by the light of a million dreams. An old man rested on a throne made of snow-white pillows. His eyes lay closed, resting. Because of the myth that she'd read as a child, Iris instantly recognized the gentlest of all Greek gods, Hypnos, the god of sleep. Hearing her footsteps in the corridor, Hypnos opened his eyes and shook himself free from his own sleepy influence. He welcomed Iris to the cave of sleep, gesturing toward the dreams and the sea of sleep-inducing plants. As he introduced Iris to his kingdom, a swarm of fireflies prepared a comfortable bed just for her. Flying together in a luminous cloud, the tiny creatures lifted sheets and fluffed pillows. Their movements were as graceful as a dance. The bed looked softer than a whisper. It was positioned beside the mighty throne. Hypnos was delighted to have a visitor. "I'm so glad you came. It's been years since anyone has visited me," he whispered between yawns. "I have a very important story to tell you, and I want you to share it with the world." Iris nodded happily and snuggled into her freshly made bed. On the fluffy sheets, she recognized the scent of lavender, which sent a tingle down her spine. Laying flat on her back, she looked up at the ceiling, where the dreams dangled and the fireflies flitted by. Once upon a time, Hypnos started. A charming group of goddesses graced the earth and the skies. Aglaia was splendid. With golden hair and a confident smile, she was brighter than the midday sun. Euphrosyne was always happy and unable to conceal her joy. She lit the world with her vibrant personality. Thalia was the dancer. She attended balls and festivities, which made her bloom. And then there was Pasithea, who, unlike her sisters, valued relaxation above anything else. Pasithea loved her home and the company of the other Olympian gods, but she also treasured her time alone. When the others celebrated, the goddess of relaxation surrounded herself with nature. Sometimes she chose a forest to listen to the songs of the birds and breathe in the color green. Other times she walked on the beach to enjoy the cold waves that splashed up her ankles. And then, most often, she climbed up a mountaintop to be closer to the stars and the moon. When she took time for herself, Pasithea slowed down. She noticed more colors, enjoyed new smells and unfamiliar sounds, and appreciated the little things around her. Then she discovered that her mood improved. Her body felt refreshed and filled with glowing energy. Pasithea tried to share her knowledge with the other gods, but they rarely stopped to listen. Absorbed by their powers and might, they didn't see or understand the joy that could be found in simply existing, rather than trying to control your existence. One evening, as she looked for a place to unwind, the goddess of relaxation noticed something peculiar. In the middle of a field with red blooming poppies, laid a young man with his eyes closed. The goddess stopped, curious to find out if he was also from Zeus's kingdom. She sat next to him, hoping that they could talk, but the stranger was fast asleep. When she gently touched his forehead and brushed his hair to the side, his expression changed. His face relaxed, and he appeared to be smiling. It was the gentlest smile that she had ever seen. It didn't take long for the goddess to start yawning. In the tranquility of the quiet pasture, she felt her eyelids getting heavy. Her body felt tired, and so she decided to lie down for a while. Once she stretched out on the ground between the dormant flowers, each breath seemed longer and softer than her last. And, with the wind quietly singing, Pasithea drifted off comfortably to sleep. the goddess woke up at dawn's first light. Above her, the sky was amidst a changing colour. The wind was still, holding its breath. Painted with morning dew, the scarlet field looked even more beautiful. To her right, the stranger still slept in the arms of nature. This sleep had been like a magic potion. The night seemed long and very pleasant. Her body was well rested and relaxed. She felt more rejuvenated than ever. When the first rays of the sun graced the horizon, the goddess knew that it was time to leave. She took a last look at the sleeping stranger and blew him a kiss goodbye. Just like the time she touched his forehead, he appeared to be smiling. Even though she was leaving, the goddess of relaxation was happy. Next to the sleeping stranger, she no longer felt alone among the gods. Throughout the day, Pasithea could think only of the stranger. She tried to figure out who he might be, but she'd never heard of a god who enjoyed relaxation as much as he did. So, at sunset, the goddess went back to the field, covered with blooming poppies. When she reached it, her heart swelled with joy at the sight of flowers bowing gracefully in the wind. The moon rested in the sky above, but the sleeping stranger was nowhere to be found. The goddess laid down in the field and waited. She watched the show that nature put on for her. Clouds drifted by the moon, fading its brightness. Insects with loud voices sang near and far. The goddess enjoyed the fresh air, the buzzing lullaby, the absence of colour. Just like the night before, she felt safe and comfortable. This was indeed a place where dreams could flow freely. Although she found the flower field, the sleeping stranger did not return. She sighed and looked at the pale moon with longing eyes. But then, just as the goddess decided to leave, she saw a faint yellow light in the distance. It travelled in loops and was headed her way. She stretched out her hand. The tiny creature landed right on top of her index finger. It was a firefly. With a motherly smile, Pasithea welcomed the glowing bug. No bigger than a button, it seemed to need a moment to catch its breath. She giggled as the insect walked along her hand, tickling her finger with each step. Then, with its abdomen glowing brightly, the firefly was ready for takeoff. In a soft voice, it whispered, "This way." Curious, the goddess decided to follow the tiny messenger. It flew from her index finger and swooped through the summer air in the direction of a forest. Contrasting against the deep night, its light was like that of a shooting star. A glimpse of hope grew inside her beating heart. Maybe this tiny creature would help her find the sleeping stranger. After a long journey through forests and fields, the goddess reached a beautiful beach. The whoosh of the waves greeted her gently, and luminous sea algae lit the way. Pasithea found a mysterious opening in the rocky cliffs along the beach. The goddess touched its jagged entrance and heard beautiful sounds coming from inside. It couldn't be the wind, she thought. It sounds like someone playing the harp. Unsure of what to do next, the goddess looked at the firefly for advice. Her glowing messenger went inside it, buzzing happily. Pasithea stepped into the cave, not minding its darkness. She realized quickly that it was a magical place. Certainly, a cave of the gods. With every step, she felt her body relaxing. Her mind was at peace. When she reached the cave's main chamber, she saw the small firefly joining its friends. The walls of the cave glittered, and the wind's melody stopped for a moment. In the center of the cave, seated on a tall throne made of pillows, was the sleeping stranger from the night before. A sea of sleep-inducing plants surrounded him, waving hypnotically. But this time, he wasn't sleeping. With a bright smile, he welcomed the goddess to the cave of sleep. They saw serenity in each other's eyes and knew that even Zeus himself couldn't conceive of a better companionship. Finishing his story, Hypnos concluded, "Know that any time you long for me, the god of sleep, you may let your mind wander to that tranquil field covered in red, blooming poppies. Lay down, watch the moon above you, and pay no attention to time. I will send for you to be brought here to the cave of sleep. Just like I sent for my queen all those years ago. No matter what may come to pass in life, you can always return here to the peace and tranquility of this cave." With Hypnos' words echoing through her mind like the walls of the cave, Iris awoke from her dream. She was back in her own bed. Out the window, the moon shone over Athens. A fresh breeze blew inside, moving the cream-colored curtains gently. It was still nighttime. Iris smiled and closed her eyes, envisioning the tranquil field covered in red, blooming poppies.